Well, hello and welcome back once again to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we operate and own the Wash and Word hand car washing business. And you say, well, what does that have to do with these verse-by-verse Bible teachings? Well, it has everything to do with it. We opened up this business as a way of having a unique outlet for God's Word to be brought forth into the public. So rather than the four walls of the church hearing the Word of God, and hopefully that's what you're hearing when you go to church, we open up this car wash and we distribute these verse-by-verse Bible teachings over, well, there's several ways. You can turn to 107.1 FM. We have a small transmitter that broadcasts these messages 24/7. Goes about as far as the entire parking lot. So if you just want to come to the area, whether you're maybe exercising at the gym or just out there having your pal's hamburger and you're in the parking lot, go ahead and turn to 107.1 FM and be fed the Word of God. We do this because we believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is so vital in today's society. So here we are. We wash cars, and we do it so that we can give you verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We invite you to Sunday night at 6 p.m. to Abundant Life Fellowship. That's at 415 Old Union Road here in Churchill. I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teachings there for our Sunday night service. Of course, you can come by and check us out Sunday mornings at 10 for Sunday school and 11 o'clock for Sunday service. Also, if you have any questions, just go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. All right, let's get back into our verse-by-verse teaching. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Paul is addressing one of the myriad of problems that this church was enduring, and we just kind of wrapped up the little section on lawsuits, and this, of course, was Paul admonishing the idea of a brother taking another brother to court. And he also gave us some guidelines for when it is acceptable to do that if need be. It's hardly ever acceptable for two Christians to take one other to court. Paul has said that when that happens, if it gets to that, we have both lost. And so a peaceful resolution is always the best way to go. It's the best for our witness, it's best for the solution, and it's just best all the way around. But now he's going to shift in chapter 6 to, well, back to sexual immorality. Now, you remember, he's already discussed a little bit about sexual immorality within that church, but he dealt very specific with certain problems, namely the one that he dealt with back in chapter 5. But now he's going to be a little more broad when it comes to the teaching on, or against, I should say, sexual immorality. And I should remind you all once again that before we get into this, the city of Corinth was a sexual dynasty. It was worse than Las Vegas or any city we can think about even today. It was noted, notoriety was gained by all the secular philosophy that was going on down there, the blatant fornication that was taking place in the streets and in the temples, and not only were they master debaters, they were idolaters, they were adulterers, and the goddess Aphrodite was worshipped there, and there were thousands of priestesses who would come down nightly, and they would peddle their services, if you catch my meaning. So it was a very corrupt city. And there are some things, some behaviors, some actions within the body of Christ that people still do. And people have differing views and differing opinions. And this is where verse 12 really comes in handy. Let's take a look at verse 12. Paul says, "Everything is permissible for me." Oh, well, that's nice, Paul. Oh, wait, I guess we should keep reading. "But not everything is beneficial." Say that again. Paul continues, "Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." So, giving a for instance, one Christian might think it is no issue at all to say, oh, I don't know, maybe have a glass of wine with dinner or have a beer after a big pasta dinner. You could be a strong believer and, you know, have no conviction about something like this. Another person might think it no problem at all to recreationally have that drink, or maybe they go to a casino once in a while. And they'll say, well, look, I mean, we all have some recreation that we like to do. I got a friend who goes and plays golf, someone might say, and he spends, well, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 to play a round of golf on a Saturday. I take my recreation and I go to the casino and I spend $30, $40. It's the same amount of money. So, you know, who's to say one is wrong and one is right? And this is where verse 12 really comes in handy. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Some people might be fine listening to 95.9 The Hog, rock and roll radio station. Or some of you, you know, might say that only WMCH is acceptable listening. See, again, it's a matter of differing views and differing opinions. And although these are types of issues that we see today, there were same types of things going on back in the day. But there are many who do things that are blatant and obvious sins, and yet they'll still try to slap 1 Corinthians 6:12 on it. And they'll say, well, everything's permissible for me, but not everything's beneficial. Everything's permissible for me, says Paul. But certain things, that logic just won't fly. And I don't care how permissible everything might be, as Paul says. Adultery, for instance, is a sin. We can't slap one scripture onto another, onto a sin, and have it override another scripture. There are inexcusable within the scriptures. Homosexuality, for instance, or stealing for a good cause, as it were, or lying, or doing drugs, or any of these things that we know are against God's word, we cannot apply the everything is permissible for me scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:12. Reminds me of the story about the woman who was pleading to the judge to get her husband out of jail because he was caught trying to steal a ham. And the judge says, well, is it because you need him home to supply, to support the family? And the woman says, oh no, he's a lazy oaf. All he does is lay around the couch. He can't get him to work for nothing. Well, is he at least good to you and the kids? She said, oh no, he's verbally abusive and he's an absentee father. Well, surely he's handy around the house. Oh no, Your Honor, he absolutely doesn't do any good at all. Well, for goodness sakes, the judge says, why do you want him to be released? And the woman says, because we're running out of ham. And so, yeah, ba-dum-bum-tsh. All right, the thing is that we can't justify certain behaviors and say that, well, Paul said everything is permissible for me. Listen, nothing makes it okay to sin directly, blatantly, and willingly against God's word. Can I say that again? Nothing makes it okay to sin directly, blatantly, or willingly against God's word. I don't care what Paul says is permissible. And I could go on and on with the list of things, you know, that I can use as examples, but being a verse-by-verse ministry, we're going to focus primarily on the sexual permissibility, because that's what Paul's dealing with here in this section of Scripture. But if your action in question doesn't come up specifically, you can be sure the application is still going to apply. So let's talk about sexual immorality. And by the way, I probably haven't mentioned this much, but these sermons, because we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, are usually geared towards, say, 13 and older. The reason is because sometimes the Word of God touches on things that are not always I guess, acceptable for younger ears, but that's just a little disclaimer. But let's go ahead and read on. He continues on this thought, verse 13. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By the power of God, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Well, we'll stop there for just a minute. You want to know what I love? Well, I guess I should say what I hate. I hate people who distort the Bible. Okay, let me back up. I don't hate people. I dislike them very much. Okay, I'm learning to try to... We're all learning together, aren't we, as we go through the Word? And I'm learning not to do certain things, and one of them is to hate. But people that distort the Bible, just it rubs me the wrong way. And it tickles me to watch people try to manipulate and try to change the Word of God. Have you seen this? Have you done this? You know, society will constantly change, but God's Word will always be the current event. And God says elsewhere, Philippians, that we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. But New Age philosophy says that we can do all things through positive thinking or positive confession or hard work, or I can do all things through sheer strength or inner human divinity, which is an oxymoron, by the way. But here, they were taking something Paul had apparently said in an earlier letter, and they were either misquoting it or only half-quoting it, which, by the way, is a problem that runs rampant in today's church and secular society. And the problem with half-truths is that you never know which half you're going to get a hold of. Notice the quotations that Paul puts here in some of the newer translation. You can see where he puts, "Everything is permissible for me." He puts those in quotations. Why did Paul put that in quotations? He did that because he realized that it was a half-truth that they were getting at. See, their half-truth was, "Everything is permissible for me." And they left it at that and then went on to live their lives as planned. But Paul added the other half, which is, of course, not everything is beneficial. And he also added that I will not be mastered by anything. The problem with allowing everything to be permissible is it often leads to mastery. You see, there are two ways to approach any situation, whether it be in the church or in the world. And let me tell you, explain to you what I believe the difference between legalism and Christianity is. Legalism is a negative approach to life that views everything as bad unless it is proven otherwise by Scripture. That is to say, it's a negative way to live, this legalistic type of way. It takes a stamp of prohibition and it labels anything that is fun as immoral, illegal, or fattening, and sometimes all three. But see, Christ came to bring, first and foremost, freedom. Isaiah 61 says to proclaim freedom for the captives. The forgiveness of sin is freedom from sin. And this was Jesus' main purpose for coming. So New Testament Christianity is a positive approach to life, and it views everything as good except what the Scripture says is wrong. So let me put those two together as we close this out today. Legalism is a negative approach to life that views everything as bad unless it is proven otherwise by Scripture, whereas New Testament Christianity is a positive approach to life and views everything as good except what the Scripture says is wrong. So the difference there is going to Scripture to prove that which is wrong, rather than trying to let everything be okay until we prove it otherwise. And the main difference between that is having a life that is lived with the daily Scriptures in our hearts. That is to live the letter of the law in the flesh of our hearts. And that is what Jesus ultimately came to do. And that is a full-time job for the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll pick up this topic here when we come back in our next teaching. I want to invite you over to the Wash and Word. Come get your car washed. That's how we support this ministry. And remember, I teach verse by verse Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Have a blessed day.